All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today, we're going to jump into a case that's pretty interesting, especially for anyone, you know, starting to really dig into property law.
Okay.
It's called Glasgow v. Glasgow, and it comes out of South Carolina.
All right.
Now, this isn't just some, you know, dusty old case for law students to memorize.
Right.
This case is a great example of how courts go about figuring out what a deed really means, especially when you've got things like, you know, marital property rights mixed in and you're trying to understand what the person who wrote the deed was actually trying to do.
Yeah.
It's that classic legal dilemma, right?
Yeah.
Trying to balance the strict letter of the law with the need for a fair outcome.
Exactly. And it's something that comes up all the time in property law.
Absolutely.
You know, even though Glasgow goes back to the late 1940s, the issues it deals with are still very relevant today.
For sure. So to really understand what's going on here, we need to set the scene a bit. So picture this, right? It's 1946, and we've got Robert B. Glasgow.
Mm-hmm.
He decides to transfer 150 acres of land to his son.
Okay.
Now, here's the catch. In the deed, Robert says that he's holding on to a life estate for himself.
Right.
And he's also reserving a life estate for his wife, Elizabeth. Sounds simple enough on the surface, but here's where things get a little messy.
Right.
Elizabeth, she wasn't actually listed as a grantor on the deed.
Okay.
The only thing she did was give up or renounce her dower interests.
Right. And for those who might not remember from property class, dower is basically a common law concept that gives a wife a life estate in some of her husband's property if he dies.
Exactly. Yeah. So when Elizabeth renounced her dower, she was saying, look, I'm giving up any potential claim I might have to this land in the future.
Exactly.
So time marches on, and sadly, Robert passes away. Elizabeth, now a widow, steps forward and says, hey, remember that life estate reserved for me in the deed? Well, it's time for me to claim it. But the son, he throws a wrench in the works. He objects, and surprisingly, the lower court actually sided with him. So what was the court's reasoning behind denying Elizabeth her life estate?
Well, the lower court's decision really hinged on a couple of core legal principles. First, they pointed to the idea that Elizabeth was a stranger to the deed. It's an old legal doctrine, and it basically means that a deed can't give someone a property interest if they're not a party to the agreement, you know, if their name isn't on there as a grantor.
Right.
And since Elizabeth wasn't actually conveying anything herself, the reservation in her favor seemed iffy under this stranger to the deed rule.
Makes sense. So what was the second point the lower court made?
Their second argument was that they felt like giving Elizabeth a life estate just couldn't work if the son was getting the entire fee simple interest. To them, these were like oil and water. You know, they just couldn't mix.
Right, because how can you give someone complete ownership and at the same time say someone else has the right to live there?
Exactly. They saw those two ideas as totally incompatible.
But as we hinted at earlier, the South Carolina Supreme Court had a different take on the situation. They decided to overturn the lower court's ruling. So that brings us to the big question we're wrestling with here.
Mm-hmm.
Can a grantor, like Robert, create a life estate in a deed for his wife, Elizabeth, who isn't named as a grantor, especially when the only thing she did was waive her dower rights?
That's the million-dollar question. And in a nutshell, the South Carolina Supreme Court said yes, but there's some important things to keep in mind.
Okay, so let's dig into those important things.
Sure.
How did the Supreme Court arrive at their decision?
Well, in the majority opinion, Justice Stukes, he put a lot of weight on something called the granting clause of the deed.
Interesting. So why is that particular part of the deed so important when it comes to figuring out these kinds of legal puzzles?
Well, you see, in the world of deed interpretation, the granting clause, that's where the real action is. That's the part where the grantor actually hands over the property and spells out exactly what kind of ownership they're transferring, or in this case, reserving.
Right. It's where they lay it all out.
Exactly. And Justice Stukes pointed out that Robert very clearly set aside life estates for both himself and Elizabeth right there in the granting clause.
Okay.
The court saw that as a strong sign of what Robert intended. They even mentioned how the person who wrote the deed evidently knew the importance of putting it where he did in the granting clause.
Huh. So it wasn't just thrown in randomly somewhere in the deed. It was front and center.
Exactly.
So what about that stranger to the deed argument? That seemed pretty important to the lower court. How did the Supreme Court handle that one?
Well, this is where Elizabeth's marital rights really come into play.
Okay.
The Supreme Court pointed out that Elizabeth wasn't really a complete stranger to this whole deal because she had what's called an inchoate dower right.
Inchoate dower right.
Yeah, inchoate just means it wasn't a fully active interest yet, but it was a real potential claim she had on the property if her husband died before her.
Interesting.
And the court didn't stop there. They also considered her homestead rights.
Homestead
rights. Right. That's the right to live in the family home. And they even factored in her potential inheritance rights as Robert's wife.
So even though she wasn't directly giving up ownership in this specific deed, all these other legal rights she had because of her marriage, they created enough of a link to the property for the Supreme Court.
Exactly. They were basically saying, look, just because she wasn't a grantor on this deed doesn't mean she's a total outsider. She's the grantor's wife, and she's got legal ties to this land.
That makes sense. It's like the court was acknowledging the practical realities of marriage and how those legal relationships impact property rights.
Right. And the court actually brought up the concept of usufruct to emphasize this point. Now, usufruct... It is perfectly legal to separate the usufruct, in this case, Elizabeth's life estate, from the actual ownership, the fee simple title, that was going to the son.
Right. So Robert could give full ownership to his son and still carve out a right for himself and his wife to live on and use the property during their lifetimes.
Precisely. And that addressed the lower court's concern that the reservation was incompatible with the fee simple transfer.
It's like they're two separate pieces of the overall property puzzle.
Exactly. So for all the future lawyers listening out there, what are the big takeaways from Glasgow v. Glasgow? What should you keep in mind when you're drafting deeds or dealing with property issues?
Yeah, what are the practical lessons here?
Okay, well, first off, where you put things in a deed really matters.
Location, 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 right?
Exactly. If you're trying to reserve an interest, especially for someone who isn't a grantor, make sure it's clear and upfront. Ideally, like Justice Duke said, write in the granting clause.
Got it. Make it obvious and put it in the most important part of the deed. What else?
The second big lesson is that figuring out what the grantor wanted is super important. The courts are more and more focused on honoring the grantor's intent, even if it means bending some of the old rules a bit.
So intent trumps strict legal formalities.
To a certain extent, yes. If the deed makes it clear what the grantor was trying to do, the court is likely to uphold that.
Okay, makes sense. What's the third key point?
Third, never forget about those spousal interests. Even if a spouse isn't listed as a grantor, their existing legal rights, things like dower, homestead, or potential inheritance, can be really important. Those rights show a connection to the property and help to argue that the non-grantor spouse isn't just some random person.
Right. It strengthens their claim. What's the fourth and final point?
Lastly, any participation by the non-grantor spouse, even something small like Elizabeth giving up her dower, can make their position and the reserved interest much stronger. It shows they're aware of the deal involved, and it weakens that stranger to the deed argument.
So all in all, Glasgow v. Glasgow is a pretty practical case, even today.
Absolutely. Mm. It shows how property law is shifting towards focusing on the real-life goals of the people involved instead of getting bogged down in super technical legal stuff.
Yeah.
For law students, it's a huge reminder that you got to really examine the words in a deed and understand how marital property rights work. It's not just about applying old rules blindly. You got to look at the whole picture, the relationships, and what everyone was trying to do.
And Justice Stukes really hit the nail on the head with that great quote about logic and intent.
Oh, right. He said, pure logic should not frustrate the grantor's intent.
It's a good reminder that law is about people and their plans, not just abstract legal theories. So, to wrap things up, here's a question for everyone listening. Imagine if the life estate for Elizabeth wasn't so clearly laid out in the granting clause. What if it was hidden in some small print or buried deep in the deed? Would the court have been so quick to side with her? Food for thought as you navigate the world of property law.
That's a great point. It really makes you think about how important the details are. Remember what we talked about, where things are in the deed, how clear the grantor's intent is, and the impact of those marital rights. All those things work together to get the result in Glasgow v. Glasgow.
Great insights. Thanks for diving into this case with us. Until next time, keep those legal minds sharp and don't forget to look beyond the surface of those documents.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks for listening.
See you next time.